You are listening to the Aim to Win in Business and Life podcast with Tony Coleman Brown, where we believe that in life, you're either winning or learning, but never losing. So let's get ready to win with Tony Coleman Brown.
Hi, this is Tony Coleman Brown, and on today's episode of the Aim to Win podcast, we have none other than Vicki Irvine, and she's going to teach us how to live the superwoman lifestyle. So get ready to learn and get ready to win right now.
We have none other than Ms. Vicki Irvine today, and she is going to be sharing a wealth of knowledge and information. So for those of you who don't know her, let me just tell you a little bit about this woman, because she is bad to the bone. She is leading and succeeding in business. So after building her first company into a million-dollar business in 12 months, so I have to say that one more time, Vicki, because I want to make sure they get that. After building her first company into a million-dollar business in 12 months, Vicki started her next venture, Mentoring Business Owners, which quickly became a successful coaching practice for entrepreneurs. She focuses on teaching women how to have it all in business, beauty, and balance while living a superwoman lifestyle. Vicki has coached over 2,000 people on how to increase their own wealth, boost their profits, and employ marketing strategies that few have been exposed to. The success of Vicki's coaching practice was built on her keen sense of marketing that keeps her events selling out in any economy. Vicki's success has garnered national acclaim and recognition, making her a much sought after than any other business-minded woman wanting to learn her non-traditional marketing methods. Vicki immediately realized a need for women entrepreneurs to have like-minded mentors who could help them build their business, and she begins to coach others on how to add income streams to their existing business, build their client and contact list, and establish their business online in every niche and industry imaginable. Prior to becoming nationally known for her marketing and business prowess, Vicki had a successful career in human resources. She graduated from the American International College in Springfield, Massachusetts, and holds a master's degree in human resources development. Vicki has also been featured in Millionaire Blueprint magazine, Essence magazine, CNN's HLM Prime News, USA Today, Lifetime TV, Bloomberg Radio, Essence.com, Investors Business Daily, and on the TV show Leading Experts. She is also the co-author of Women on Fire, an award-winning book that has received national acclaim, recognition, awards, and great reviews as a representation of 20 dynamic women with powerful stories of challenge and triumph. Vicki is also the author of the Superwoman Lifestyle Blueprint and her latest release, The Secret Diary of a Superwoman, which are both available on Amazon. Recently, Vicki expanded her brand and developed a new beauty line called SWL Collection. She partnered with the recording artist Shantae Moore as a celebrity face to design a line and color of lipsticks that women can wear from the boardroom, stage, or just hanging out with the kids. So for those of you who don't know her, I'd like to present to some and introduce to others, Ms. Vicki Irvine. Thank you so much for being on the TeleSummit today, Vicki. I'm so excited to have you here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and I'm happy to be here. It's an honor.
Oh, great, great. You know, Vicki, you are definitely one of those people that I'm sure a lot of women look up to and, you know, kind of have you as Wendy Williams would say, a friend in their head. You know, just kind of like a friend in my head. I see you, you're doing some fantastic things, just empowering and inspiring women business owners all over the world. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, were you always an entrepreneur? Like, did you always have that entrepreneurial spirit?
Absolutely not. You know, it's funny because, you know, when I listen to you reading my bio and I think about it, it doesn't even seem like me because, you know, I remember being in high school and I wasn't really motivated at all. And I just was so sick of school and people talking about college and my mom wanting me to go to college. And I just really had no desire. And my mother actually filled out college applications for me. And one day she got so mad and she was like, you're going to take some ownership of this and fill out some applications. And I remember filling out the application and I came to the question that said, are you a veteran? And I looked up at my mom, my brother, I was like, am I a veteran? And they just shook their heads. And I'm just like, wow, I didn't even know if I was a veteran in high school. And I tell that when I speak on stage and people look at me like, are you serious? So I wasn't really motivated. I finally did get accepted to college and I did very well. So thank goodness for my mom. But I ended up falling into a career of human resources when I graduated. And I was, you know, that person working a 9-to-5 job and kind of commuting to work in traffic and not really having any real fulfillment or feeling like I was having any type of positive impact on the world. And being in the field of human resources, of course, part of my job was always to, you know, have to lay people off and tell them that we're cutting or reducing their retirement benefits. And I was just delivering bad news all the time. And I was very unhappy. And I just didn't know what else to do. I think sometimes when we all start off in a career in a typical 9-to-5, you know, we go, we get our college degree and we have our expertise in that area and we don't know what else we can do. I'm a human resources person. That's where all my experience is. What else can I possibly do? So I was definitely not always an entrepreneur. I was a person who, you know, knew they wanted to do something else, but had no idea what. So, you know, thankfully, you know, I was surrounded by other entrepreneurs and people who, after a lot of prodding, you know, pushed me to look into trying to do my own thing. So that's kind of how I evolved. So I was definitely not always an entrepreneur and didn't even know if I was a veteran or not when I was about in the 12th grade.
You know, that's so funny because I have to tell you that there are a lot of women that start out pretty much the exact same way. And I mean, and you know, I think about like Barbara Corcoran and how, you know, she really wasn't a great student. She really wasn't interested in all of that. And, and then, you know, all of a sudden she kind of, I think her path was almost similar to your path and, you know, kind of got into their thing and just soared. Just absolutely soared. So yeah. I want to ask you, you know, what was it that made you decide to actually become an entrepreneur? What happened? What occurred?
Well, what happened is I actually married an entrepreneur. And so what happened is that having been on both sides, you know, the traditional 9-to-5 and being an entrepreneur, I can look back and realize what was going on. But I married an entrepreneur and very early on in our marriage, immediately, we clashed because I was of the 9-to-5, you know, get your Social Security and your pension and everything mindset. And he was in this entrepreneurial mindset where he was taking all these risks with money. And he was talking about copywriting and marketing strategies, which is a bunch of mumbo jumbo to a person who's pretty much going in and punching a clock every day. And so he was passionate about this stuff that I thought was insane. And we clashed and we bumped heads a lot and we got into a lot of arguments very early on. And I was like, oh my gosh, who did I marry? I think I made a mistake. I remember calling my mother going, this man is crazy. All he talks about is marketing and all these crazy terms. And he just kept saying, you know, come with me to one of my mastermind. Come meet my mentors. Come meet other people doing what I'm doing. And it took a long, long time. But finally, one day I said, okay, let me go with this crazy man and go and see what he's talking about. And I actually was exposed to other entrepreneurs who were talking the same language as him, who were making millions of dollars in their industry, no matter what it was, from people who were roof cleaners to chiropractors to all types of different backgrounds. They were all applying the same marketing strategies to what they were doing and making their businesses very, very successful. And I remember talking to my husband's mentor, who is Bill Glazier of GKIC, and I was like, oh, wow, well, you know, what can I do? All of a sudden, I'm on board now because, you know, sometimes it's the messenger. You know, when it's the messenger, when your husband or somebody is telling you something, you don't quite hear it the same. But when you're opened up to other people and you see other people doing it, he doesn't seem as crazy anymore. So right. Immediately I was on board. And just seeing that, that's what made me want to become an entrepreneur. I saw other people doing it, and something clicked for me. And so some of the things that I do is I always tell other people, you know, expose people, bring people, drag them kicking and screaming to an event somewhere and let them see the possibilities and what other people are doing, because it only takes one person to inspire you. So that's kind of what made me want to immediately become an entrepreneur and leave that 9-to-5 job.
So, you know, I know that a lot of people that are listening, Vicki, they're in various stages of their entrepreneurial career. Some are just getting started. Some are moving from, you know, maybe 50,000 to 100,000. Some are still working a full-time job and transitioning. So, you know, as it relates to that transition, you know, what happened? How did that happen for you? Were you scared? And, you know, and what did you transition into? What was it that really did it for you?
Well, I was absolutely scared. I was at work every day, and after I had gone to the mastermind and saw those other entrepreneurs, someone, you know, Bill Glazer actually suggested that I look into real estate investing. And that's, you know, several years ago when real estate was really, really booming. And, you know, I said, okay, you know, whatever he said, I was like, okay, because I'm totally on board at this point. And so I came back and I started trying to figure out how to invest in real estate and finding a mentor that I could really attach to and learn how to do it the right way. You know, that's always important, is not trying to do something on your own when there's other people out there who can shorten the process for you and make things so much easier for you. So I attached to my mentor, I learned how to invest in real estate for myself, and I quickly realized that I wanted to teach other people how to do it. I couldn't believe it was that easy. I couldn't believe a regular person could actually make real estate investments, because at that time I was like, oh, well, I'm not Donald Trump, I'm not Oprah Winfrey, I can't do this, but you can. And so I decided I wanted to create this program to teach other people, and that's what I did. And it became really, really successful very, very quickly. And I recognized that it's because of the marketing that I put behind the program. There were other real estate investors doing what I was doing, teaching it. But I really focused on the marketing, which is what I was always taught to do as an entrepreneur. That's how you get clients. And so the funny part about being scared of the transition is that even when I was making money and I'm hitting the stages and people are coming out to see me and I'm literally, Tony, making more money in a month than I was in a year, I was still scared to leave my job. So I had like this dual double life that I was living. I was on stage with all these people coming out to see me, and then the next day I'm coming right back to my 9-to-5 because I was scared. I was like, wait a minute, this is too good to be true. You know, this is going to dry up really quickly and I'm going to need this job. And so for a long time, I was still sitting at my desk. And even my boss, who I'm great friends with to this day, he was like, I hear you all over the radio ads. Clearly you have, you know, this whole other life going on. Why are you still coming up in here trying to get this paycheck? But, you know, it's the fear of failure. It is the fear, you know, it's ingrained in us to always stick to that 9-to-5 job, you know, because that's a lot of times what we're taught, and that's the traditional way from back in the day. And when that's ingrained in you, it's hard to break that habit, and you're afraid of falling flat, you're afraid of people laughing at you, you're afraid of what other people will say. So to answer your question, yes, I was petrified of transition so much that I was living that double life.
Wow. And you know what? I think that there will be a lot of people that will hear that and will actually resonate with that message. And I, you know, and you probably have set some people free just by, you know, giving that testimony, which is absolutely awesome. Now, you said something that I think is just is brilliant, and I'd like for you to talk a little bit about it, if you don't mind. One of the things you said was you went to this event and you saw all of these different entrepreneurs, and they had various different types of businesses, but they were all following the same marketing system. And then you also mentioned just now that, you know, it was marketing that really kind of did it for you, you know, brought in all the clients, you know, filled the room for your events and all of that. So can you talk a little bit about that marketing system and the marketing strategies and stuff that you use?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that happens with entrepreneurs, especially women entrepreneurs, is that we tend to want to focus only on what we're good at, what our gifts are, you know, the thing that we have, the gifts and what we can do. And that's where our passion lies. And so when it comes to the sales and marketing component of running your business, we tend to shy away from that because people feel funny about bragging about themselves or promoting themselves or charging people money. And so many women get stuck because they're so concerned about what other people will think about them actually charging for their services, right? So
right.
I learned early on, and I think a lot of my early lessons came from kind of running in circles with a lot of the big internet marketers who were men. I was typically like one of the only females going to events, I mean, masterminds from here to the UK. I was hanging out with some of the top internet marketers. I was like the little sister, but I learned their style, and the men weren't shy about promoting, and they really went hard with it. And so I benefited from that because my style is more like that. I know how to put a female twist on it, but I learned early on that there is no shame in promoting yourself. If you say you want to be in business and you want to help other people, then it's your job to get the message out there and let people know you exist, because no matter how good you are at whatever it is you do, if no one even knows you exist because you're not marketing, then what is the point? And you're not going to make money. And the definition of being in business is to turn a profit. So you have to make a decision. Do you want to do this thing as a hobby, or are you in it to pay your bills? And so I learned that very, very early on, to focus on the marketing. I didn't get caught up in, you know, oh, I need another certification, or I need one more degree, because people don't care about that stuff. People only want to know how you are going to help them get the end result that they're looking for. And so that is why I learned early on to focus on the marketing strategy, the client attraction aspects of things, and the building of relationships and rapport with prospects. People think, you know, you meet someone and you go straight for the kill and you ask people for a sale, and it doesn't work that way, you know? Mm-hmm. Having people trust you and like you to the point where they feel comfortable to actually go in their purse and give you money is a whole nother thing that people have to learn how to massage that relationship. And so I always teach when I'm working with my clients that, you know, this is a process. You have to build a system. You have to build a following of people who your message resonates with, and they have to like your style and want to work with you. And that doesn't mean that everybody in the world is going to work with you. There's going to be some people who do not like your style, and that's fine. That's why we all have options and choices in life. But your job is to get a following of people and figure out what it is that they're craving and what they want, and you develop your products and services around that, and you deliver them to the people who are really, really feeling your message. So really focus on client attraction and relationship building.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, you know what else I like about your story, Vicki, is the fact that you actually went out to mastermind events and you sat at the feet of some great internet marketers and some great marketers in general. And, you know, one of the common themes that I think that has been resonating with a lot of the women that I've been speaking to is that they haven't been afraid to invest in themselves and invest in getting the knowledge that they needed to get to the next level. And, you know, what was that experience like for you? I mean, I'm sure you probably invested a lot in terms of the masterminds and going, you know, all over the place to get the, you know, the training that you needed to work your business the way that you really, you know, have in such a way that, you know, you've been able to generate millions in 12 months. So talk a little bit about that if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, learning early on that the only way that this thing is going to work is if you get properly mentored or trained by the right people is very, very important. And I end up working with women who have been at it, and we all know people, they've been at their entrepreneurial thing for years, really not getting that far simply because they're trying to do it all on their own. Or they're looking at what other people are doing, they're opting into different people's lists, getting their free stuff, and they really believe that that's enough to actually go back and run their business and have it be a profitable business, and that's just not the case. As with anything in life, if you want to be a doctor, you have to go to medical school. If you want to be an attorney, you have to go to law school. And people don't have a problem investing in that. So I don't understand what the difference is. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you need to invest in learning from other successful entrepreneurs how to do what it is that, you know, you want to do. And so it's this exact same concept, but again, I think the disconnect comes from, you know, college being something traditional that everyone's used to and society is used to, and this whole seminar thing has kind of a negative connotation. People look at you and say, oh, you're one of those seminar people. What are you going to learn at a seminar? You know, so it always has that little stigma hanging over it. But there is not a successful entrepreneur that any of us admire anywhere who is not connected to a mentor. No matter who we admire, they're that successful because there's somebody else feeding them and they're investing in themselves. See, you are your most important asset. And I just think that it doesn't make any sense to expect for clients and customers to invest in you when you don't even invest in yourself. How can you go out there and say, hey, buy my stuff, invest in yourself, come to me, invest with me, when you won't even invest in yourself to get what you need? And so I always tell people, if you don't believe in the power of self-investment and value yourself enough, you're going to see that when you're trying to attract clients to you. It just does not work. And so investing in myself and seeing a positive return on my investment is what's important. Now, I always tell people the same thing. Like, if people are paying, you know, investing and paying money to learn something and they're doing it year after year, clearly it's paying off. You know, we're not going to keep paying for something that's not working. And so that's a clue. And I don't know why people ignore that and they say, oh, I can shortcut the process and I don't have to do what that other successful person is doing. And they try, and the years go by, and finally they just break down and say, oh, I wish I had done this sooner because now I get it. And so, you know, it's our job, Tony, to put that out there to people. And I don't care. People don't need to invest with me. I don't care who they make a decision to invest with, but they, somewhere down the road, they're going to have to value themselves enough to put the money in themselves. Because if you don't feel enough, if you don't care and you don't feel enough of yourself to make the investment, you really can't expect anybody else to. Now, to put that in a little more perspective for you, we all, as business owners, have the people who come to you and say, oh, well, you know, I really love what you're doing. If you just give me a chance, I've always been looking for a mentor. If you just let me do this for free. You can't come to someone and make that argument. Why should we put something into you when you're too scared to put something into yourself? You're not looking like too good of an investment to me if you don't believe in yourself. And so right. It's really, really important for women to recognize that early on so they don't waste a whole bunch of time.
Awesome. And I, you know, that's a theme that seems to be resonating kind of throughout. And I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with that. So with that being said, you know, there's this whole women's movement now. You see it with, you know, Lean In. You see it with just the overall growth in women business owners in general. I mean, it's definitely been on the rise, contributing trillions of dollars to the, you know, gross national products. And, you know, you have your movement with the Superwoman lifestyle.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that particular movement.
Absolutely. When I started my first entrepreneurial endeavor, which was teaching other people how to invest in real estate, I started to get a lot of women coming out to see me who were saying, you know, I just really want to know, how are you able to do this all? You know, I know you have a young son. I know you're married. You're hitting the stage several times a month. Like, how are you doing this all? You know, I have a business and I have so much, you know, so many problems trying to get it off the ground with everything else going on. And they kept saying, you must be some kind of superwoman. So women kept saying that. And I was like, wow, you know, sometimes people will give you the word for what you want to do next. And because I personally view all women as superwomen when we think about all the different things that we have to do in life, and I saw such a need for women to connect with someone else who was struggling to make it all happen, I decided to change my focus and start teaching other women business owners of all different backgrounds and expertise on how to apply the same marketing strategies to make their businesses successful. And so I created this movement called the Superwoman Lifestyle Movement in Business, Beauty, and Balance, where I, yes, focus on the business and marketing side of things, but I also address women feeling good about themselves. That's where the beauty comes in, because I found that if I try to talk to women about just business, there were all these other issues that were coming up with feeling burnt out, not feeling attractive anymore, you know, not even having time to comb their hair. And so I said, let's make this whole thing about the superwoman lifestyle in all three areas. I call it the three B's, the business, beauty, and balance. And let's focus on how we can make this happen and do it together and recognize that we're all struggling to find the time and recognizing that we don't always feel or look our best and how can we do better in those areas. And that message really resonated with women, because sometimes when women are looking for others to connect to, you know, people aren't addressing the balance issue, or if you're trying to work with a guy, they don't even get it. They're like, oh, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. What's the problem? And so women were looking for someone who gave them permission and understood that, yeah, it is difficult. So how can we all design our own individual superwoman lifestyles, which are very different from person to person? Your superwoman lifestyle may be very different from mine, but as long as it's satisfying to you, that's all that matters. And I teach women not to compare themselves to other women. You know, we all have people that we admire and different attributes and things like that. However, you know, the dynamics of our lives are very different. You know, you can't compare, if you have four kids, you can't compare how much you can get done to the person who's still single with no kids out there. And so I tell women not to beat themselves up and to create their own superwoman lifestyle based on the dynamics of their life and their household. So that's how that whole movement began. And I just love working with so many women from so many diverse backgrounds.
Wow. And, you know, both of us, we work with a lot of different women and, you know, we find that they have a lot of different obstacles and things they're trying to overcome. What have you found to be one of the biggest obstacles that women in business are facing today?
You know, I feel like women are having a real issue pushing forward for support purposes, not being in circles where they're actually supported, and because of the fear factor. And, you know, if you want to help people, which women always say, most women get into entrepreneurship because they want to help people on some type of level. And so I tell people, if you want to help people, you have to create barriers and boundaries in your life where you train people how to treat you. And so that, if that means making some adjustments in your life where you're not available for everyone's drama, you know, to chit chat on the phone and take care of everyone else's problems and putting yourself last, then that's what it needs to be. And I challenge women to step up and get a bit more forceful in their lives. I just don't believe that anybody, is born to be a doormat for anybody else. And women are starting off by, they want this business and they want it really bad, but they're kind of starting off treating it like a hobby because they want to take care of everybody else first. And so I give them the permission to actually focus on themselves because they were born to do great things. And I tell them why and give them all the strategies for doing it. And after giving themselves permission, then the sky is the limit, you know, then the sky is the limit. So that's one of the biggest obstacles I think that are facing women in business, is just giving themselves permission to really, really go hard in their business, you know, and to take some time for themselves and to be selfish. There is nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, once you've taken care of your family and your kids and the things that matter to you most, all the other stuff on the outside, it's okay to tell other people no, you know, because a lot of times we're being manipulated by other people who, you know, expect us to do things for us when these same people probably wouldn't do the same if the shoe were on the other foot. And so my whole challenge is for women to get tougher, learn how to say no unapologetically. And if people don't like you anymore, don't want to be your friend anymore, who cares?
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly with that. Now, with the beauty aspect, you recently launched this new cosmetics line, SWL. So how did that come about? And could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know, you know, there's so many women that, you know, want to launch like a beauty line of some sorts, and you've done it. So how did that come about?
You know, I just, I get bored really easy. And so I'm always thinking about what else can I do. And I think this is true for a lot of women entrepreneurs. After we have our system down and we're good at what we do, we are always thinking about what else can we do. And we try to think about what else we can do that kind of, you know, still ties into our brand, you know, so it doesn't look like we're running, like we've gone off on a totally different track and we have people going, okay, like, are they a beauty person or are they a marketing coach? So one of the things that worked for me is that the Superwoman Lifestyle movement was already about business, beauty, and balance. And so it made sense for me to expand on the beauty portion of the brand. And I personally love lipstick. Like, I'm not the best person at applying makeup on myself, but if nothing else, I will have on lipstick. I've always loved lipstick. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start a lipstick line to expand on the beauty portion of the brand. I think it's time to do that. And so keeping it in the same family of the Superwoman Lifestyle Movement, I came up with the name SWL, Superwoman Lifestyle, SWL Collection. And I designed the lipstick names based on, you know, women in business. So I have lipsticks named Business, named Success, named Passion, named Superwoman, all types of different names that are empowering names, Boss Lady, you know, stuff that I thought would resonate with the following that I already have, which is very important. I designed it with the people that I know already, you know, are attracted to me, and I wanted it to appeal to that particular audience so it would all make sense and actually work. And so that's how I came up with it. You know, these days you can Google and figure out how to do anything. And so that's what I did. I figured out, I made phone calls and figured out how to make it happen. And then I reached out to Shantae Moore and said, hey, I want you to be the celebrity face of my line. What do we have to do to make this happen? I realized that I've always been a fan of hers. She has a new album. She's on TV. There's been a huge resurgence in her career, so I thought the timing was perfect because she's everywhere now. Right. So, you know, we got together, we made it happen, and, you know, I thought it was just going to be a cute little thing on the side, but women have received it so well. I mean, I go out and I see women who come up to me and go, I have on Attitude lipstick, and I'm like, oh my gosh. it's like super cool to bump into women at events and parties, and they're wearing my lipstick, and I just sometimes have to pinch myself. But that's how I decided to do it with the whole brand expansion thing, and that's how it came about. And it's been a lot of fun. So I satisfied that boredom that I was having and ended up doing that and making it work.
That's awesome. I always say that, you know, when people are looking for additional streams of income, just make sure that it's complimentary and non-competitive. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I know that must feel really good. So how are you expanding that? Are you putting it in stores or is it just online?
Right now, it's just online. So I have a couple things that I plan on doing down the road because I'm really realizing that it's all a process because, you know, I'm still learning as I go along. Is right now, it's just lipstick and lip gloss. So at some point, of course, there's so many other products that I can introduce into the line, like the eyeshadow and everything else. So that'll be one area of expansion. And then getting into stores is a whole nother animal, but I have a good friend of mine who actually has all the relationships with the drugstores, and she is the person that gets your stuff in the stores. So I had the benefit of understanding how to make that happen so that it actually ends up being profitable for me. It makes sense for me. But first, you really want to have a really, really strong showing of online sales first before you go and try to negotiate to get your stuff in stores. Because that becomes more expensive, and you really have to have a huge following to even make, you know, the profit in that area after you have to pay the drugstores and everything. You know, all stuff that's brand new to me, but being able to reach out to people who have connections who actually do this for a living and helping me to understand how it all works has been great. So now I have a plan for what I need to do online, and then I know what the next step is to actually get it in stores, which will come a little bit later on down the road. So, yes, there's definitely plans to do that. I understand the process, and that is totally what I'm working on right now.
That's awesome. And, I mean, and I love the way you lay out the process in terms of, you know, you learn what it is, what it takes to get it done, and then you just go step by step and take it piece by piece, and you kind of phase it all in over a period of time. So that's a great plan, and that's a great strategy because, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they come to you and, you know, and they come to, I'm sure they come to you and they ask you questions all the time about, you know, how do I get started doing this and how do I get started doing that? And I love the fact that you say, well, you know, today you could just about Google everything. I love that. And I mean, and I just, you know, I get that. And I mean, and I don't understand why a lot of people don't get that. It's like, Google it.
Yeah, I mean, people, I mean, like, information is so there. And if we think about it, we all know somebody we could pick up the phone and ask a question or two on how to do something the right way. And sometimes people think things are so far out of their reach. Like, there's a lot of people who would never do that or have the boldness to say, oh, you know, who am I to have my own cosmetics line? I'm not Revlon or whatever. And as an entrepreneur, I just feel we shouldn't put any limitations on ourselves, you know? And so you have to show other people the possibilities, Tony. And in addition to me doing it because I love lipstick and I wanted to expand my brand, I also realized exactly what you said, that this would end up being a teaching point for me. When I'm teaching marketing and branding and how to expand your brand, I have now done it so I can give people the steps that I follow. So it falls into my other business of teaching marketing and brand expansion. So it's a teaching point as well. And it just all works together. So when people ask me, well, how do I go to the next level? How do I expand? How do I do this? I've done it. So I'm not just talking theory anymore. So I can show people what makes sense, what doesn't, how not to get caught up. Because sometimes people say, oh, you know, we want eyeshadows. We want this. We want that. But you can't go and do eyeshadows because five people said they want eyeshadows. You know, you have to do things slowly so that it makes sense because people are just voicing their opinion at the moment. You go and get those eyeshadows and those five people won't even buy them. So you have to, so you have to make sure you're following a formula. And like I said, listening to people who are actually in the business and know how to make it work. But, yeah, there's so much information out there, so never put limitations on yourself. If there's something you want to go into and never feel like, oh, I'm too small to do that, you can do absolutely anything you want. Everything is too small or out of reach until it's actually done.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. Now, you know, there are a lot of women out there that are looking to succeed, and they want to have success in their business. And, you know, of all of the things that, you know, you've learned over the years, what do you think is the most important thing for women to learn in order to succeed in their business?
Yeah, my number one thing I'm always going to say is how to market. I mean, if you have to take your money and invest it anywhere, I would focus on learning how to attract clients and customers to you. Everything else that you do, you know, I see women saying, oh, I got my business license and I have a website and I have my phone number, and they sit there and think the phone is going to ring. And,
yeah.
And that's just not the case. So I try to force women to focus on the marketing aspect, because again, no matter what you do, if you don't have the ability to draw people to you and bring new people in, your business is not going to work. So focusing on client attraction and building up a following is what I really, really, really try to drive home as the most important thing. So if your resources are limited starting off, and I know for a lot of people they are, if you had one place to put it into learning the art and science of marketing. And there is literally a strategy to every aspect and facet of marketing as an entrepreneur. If you want to do teleclasses, if you want to do webinars, if you want to do public speaking and sell products from the stage, there's a right and a wrong way to do it, and there's a formula that's been proven to convert and make sure that you get the most amount of sales, and how you structure your teleclasses. It's more than just setting up a conference line and having people join and saying what you want to say. There's certain things you're supposed to say, and they're supposed to go certain places, and people don't understand that. You know, as I'm sitting here in my office talking, you know, there's a bookshelf full of stuff on different strategies, teleseminars and webinars and how to throw profitable events. You've got to dive in and learn every single facet. I see so many women out there wanting to do live events because they just think it's fun to be on stage. Well, you can lose a lot of money just throwing a live event if you don't have a purpose for it and you don't set up a structure for it and you don't make sure everything you do at that event supports that structure and that purpose. And so many women are doing that because, again, they're just watching what other people do without bothering to dive in and invest in learning how to do things the right way. And so that's what I really, really, really want to drive home for women. Don't shortchange yourself. Invest in learning how to market every area and facet of being an entrepreneur in your business.
That is awesome. And, I mean, I think that's 110% correct. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, I see so many people, you know, doing just that, thinking that, oh, it's just everything is so easy. You know, I see people, they say they want to write a book, so they write a book. And then they realize that, okay, after the book is written, you have to have a plan and a strategy, a marketing strategy to get out there and sell books.
That's right.
And, you know, it's like everything. They think, you know, okay, I want to create this product. And then they, you know, spend all of their money creating a product.
Right.
And then after the product is created, they forget that they need to have a marketing plan or a strategy to sell that product.
That's right.
You know, it's just amazing. I personally, I just was mentoring this young college student. And one of the things that I told her was that, you know, I said, you know, let me tell you something. I said, if you learn great sales techniques,
I said, just selling in general. I mean, you know, trust me when I say, if you learn how to sell, you'll never be without a job. You'll never be without money.
That's right.
And I just think that selling skills are so important for people to have, because there's an art and a science, like you said, to every aspect of selling. And you have to have that in-game strategy in mind, because once you get to one point, you have to realize and recognize that it takes another certain set of skills to get you from point A to point B. And then it takes another set of skills to get you from point B to point C, which leads me to this question to you. Do you have a team of people in place to help you with certain aspects of your business? Because recognizing that, you know, you can't do it all, you know, and you work in your brilliance and, you know, marketing and all of that happens to be a part of it. But what about a team of people to help you with some of the other things you need to get done in your business? Because where I see a lot of women getting stuck is they feel like, because their funds may be a little bit limited or tight, that they have to do everything. But then when they sit down and they do it, it ends up being not, you know, maybe not the best product, maybe not the most professional, maybe not the, you know, maybe not put together in the best way that it could have been put together. But do you have a team of people that you work with?
Absolutely. And for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and small business owners like ourselves, it's important that we find people to work with where things are cost effective. And so I don't have, you know, 20 people sitting in the office somewhere. I could never afford to do that. But I do have a virtual assistant. I do know who I can go to create graphics when I want graphics done. I do have a person I can go to create my sales pages and web pages when I want that stuff hooked up to do that, or my event sites. And that's when I pay people on a project basis to get certain things in my business done. I firmly believe that as entrepreneurs, instead of trying to take on everything yourself because we think we're saving money, you're actually losing money, because your stuff is going to be subpar because it's not your real expertise. You can't sit there. That's why it drives me crazy when women sit there and want to build their own websites because they think they're saving money. I'm like, oh, my gosh, give me a break. Stop it. You're not a web designer, you know? So things don't look good, and the website is not, you know, it's just sitting out there in cyberspace, not driving any traffic to it. I mean, I feel as the owners of our companies, we need to focus on the portions of our business that generate income, and that's building relationships and handling most of the marketing ourselves. That's what I believe. All the other stuff, like, you know, the technical pieces like websites and hooking up our contact management systems like AWeber or Constant Contact, whatever you use, and graphics and all that stuff. Find someone that you can count on who knows how to do that stuff, who you can work with on a project basis, and let them do things the right way for you. Because sitting there trying to do everything yourself, you're losing money because you're not spending any time marketing. The time you're spending trying to build a website that's not going to do anything for you could be better spent attracting and bringing in a new client. So when you start to reverse engineer your thinking and think about it that way, women say, you know what, that's true. I am spending hours trying to save a penny, and I'm, you know, the marketing aspect is suffering. I haven't brought in a new client in weeks because I've been working on this website. So it really doesn't make any sense. And so that's why it's important to change the mindset and the thinking of entrepreneurs, because a lot of times we come into it, you know, with our 9-to-5 mentality, or, you know, we just don't know what to do. We figure, you know, I can save some money if I do it here. And that just always, always, always backfires. So, yes, after a while, you know, you find people on Elance.com or Guru.com. There's so many sites out there where you can create an account and, you know, and find team members and people to work with you in other countries or America. It doesn't matter. I've been working and using teams of people on Elance.com for years, and that's how I get the majority of my stuff done. Farm it out to them. We agree on a price. They get it done. They don't get paid until it's satisfactory to me, and it's over with.
Fantastic. I love that. And I mean, and I do exactly the same thing. So, I mean, I agree with you 110% on that. And a lot of times it can be very cost effective. It's not as expensive as people actually think. They can get certain things done for a really good price. And I mean, high quality professional work too.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. That's awesome. So Vicky, I mean, I know you do a lot of different things, and you know, a lot of times in business, you have these roller coasters. I mean, I know I experience it. I know a lot of business owners experience it. And it can be emotional roller coasters. Sometimes you have good days, sometimes you have bad days. So I want to ask you this. How do you stay motivated to do all of the things that you do?
You know, first you have to understand that as an entrepreneur, I've just realized it is what it is. And like you said, there's going to be days when things work. There's going to be times when something you launch works, and there's going to be time when something you launch doesn't work. We're always going to hit roadblocks, and it's a part of being an entrepreneur. It's taking risks and figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And when you have the things that don't work, you know, instead of looking at them like, oh, my gosh, I failed, just say, oh, my gosh, you know, this didn't work. How can I tweak it to make it better? Or maybe I need to scrap it all together. And so you stay in this constant phase of testing. So I always encourage entrepreneurs to think of it that way. I am in a constant phase of testing. Yes, there are many already proven strategies and models on how to do things, but there's going to be different caveats and to certain things. And it's just a testing mode at all times. And so that helps me to keep myself from feeling down if something that I do doesn't work. And I tell people I have stuff that I try all the time that doesn't work. Everything I do, you know, I'm not Einstein. I'm not brilliant. Everything I do doesn't always work, and that's okay. And so that helps, you know, with the mindset of not getting down on yourself where you count yourself out and you want to quit and never try again. And also, I have to tell you, Tony, I know people say it all the time, and it sounds cliche, but it is so important to stay in the presence of people who are on the same path as you, who are encouraging people, who are motivating people, who can pick you up when you fall down. Not the people who say, I told you so. I told you you shouldn't have tried this crazy entrepreneur stuff. But the people who say, Vicky, get back up. You know, I did the same thing. I lost a bunch of money, but then I did it this way, and, you know, then it worked like gangbusters. So you need people in your life like that. And staying in the presence of those kind of people is so important, because you have folks that you can call on who can pull together and lift you up on those days that you're down. But if you are in the presence of negative people who are always waiting for you to fail or always want to give you that I told you so, it is very, very hard to stay motivated, because we all have self-motivation to some point, but we all need other people to lift us up as well. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage people to really take a look at your circle and figure out who's beneficial to the goals and the path that you're on in your life and who's not. And you have to do that spring cleaning every now and then. And I've had so many clients who said, you know, I looked at my circle and you're right. You know, there's so many negative people around me and I feel like they're just waiting for me to fall down. And once I got rid of them and I started connecting with people on the same path and I started joining people at seminars and events, my whole business took a turn for the better. And I hear story after story like that. So although it may sound cliche, the top way I stay motivated is staying with people who are excited about life, excited about taking risks, and who are there to encourage and share and show you what worked for them and what didn't work for them. And that's what keeps me going every day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it reminds me of a quote by Toni Morrison, and it's something that I recently posted on Facebook and the Network for Women in Business on the fan page.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and I'm going to curse, but that's what Toni Morrison said in the quote. She said, you know, plain and simply, if you want to fly, you have to get rid of the shit that's weighing you down.
That's right. That's right. That's perfect. So true. I love it.
I mean, I'm just like, oh my God. I mean, it's like, this is not like hitting me upside the head 50,000 times. I mean, it's just so true, plain and clear. And I mean, and I think that, you know, we do have to do that. And I mean, and I think it's true what people say when they talk about how you earn on the average of the, you know, 7 or 8 people or so. I don't know how the quote goes, but it's something like that. You earn on the average of 7 or 8 people that you hang around. So if you're hanging around people that are not, you know, making the, you know, 6 and 7 figures, then you need to move in those circles. And then sometimes if you can't get in those circles, then read their material.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, purchase their courses.
Yes.
Because all, you know, that's almost like being with them.
Yes.
You know, you may not be, it's like Wendy Williams said, oh, you're a friend in my head. Well, you know, when you are listening to, you know, the material of 7-figure multimillionaire people,
then that's almost the same as having them right there mentoring you up front and mm-hmm. in person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times you may not have the money to go to the $1,200 seminar at that point in time, but you
right.
can get the $20 book
right.
or the audio. You know what I mean? So
there's so many ways.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of, you know, people always, you know, people have this misconstrued idea about proper networking, what it is to network. Like, mm-hmm. I see these people who come out to events because they feel like people of importance or people of affluence are going to be there. It just being in the mm-hmm. room with them is going to make it happen for them. And you see these people over and over, and they want to be seen with the people and everything. And I'm like, okay, listen, if you want to make your business really work, instead of just coming here to stand in the room with these people, why don't you invest in something that they have to learn from them?
Right.
And so you're right. It's just, you know, you may not be able to coach with them one-on-one right now, because that may be without, you know, not in your reach right now, but you could certainly buy one of their home study courses, like you said, and get really up close and personal, because people have a lot of great material out there. So again, it goes back to self-investment. You know, mm-hmm. you're your most important asset. If you want to learn, invest. And, you know, I don't take people seriously who say they want to be successful and they want to learn, but they never make a move to do anything. I'm like, please stop wasting my time. You're not serious yet.
Exactly. I mean, and it's as simple as that. Well, Vicki, I have to say, you shared a lot of great information today. And, you know, I know you have something special that you want to leave the ladies with. Why don't you tell them about, you know, your offer and how they can get to it?
Absolutely. I have a course that I currently sell on my website called Female Marketing Secrets, and it's a $197 value. People buy all the time. But, you know, as being a part of this, I'm actually giving it away for free. And it's a 6-week email marketing course where over the course of every day or every couple of days, we send you a new email and teaching point on how to market effectively using email. Everyone's into email marketing, but I kind of take you through the steps, if you're brand new, of actually setting the whole thing up to actually what you need to say to actually convert people into paying customers, you know, because copywriting and what you say and how you say it is all very, very important. And so I put together a course called Female Marketing Secrets because I know a lot of women have audiences that are primarily female that they're trying to get in turn into clients. And so I talk about how, you know, what the language women like to hear, what pushes them off the fence and makes a decision for them to actually work with and invest in your products and services. And so for anyone who wants to start that course, and they can get started with it right away, all you have to do is go to vickisbonus.com, which is V-I-C-K-I-S. bonus.com. That's vickisbonus.com, and enter your information there and you can get started with the course right away. And again, I make it very manageable. I don't, you know, overwhelm you. I drip the information out to you over the course of 6 weeks. And so for anyone who's a part of your series, they are more than welcome to go to vickisbonus.com and take advantage of that $197 value.
Wow, that's awesome. That's an awesome free gift. And I know that with everything else that the ladies what have learned in this telesummit, they're definitely going to want to utilize and take advantage of that offer. So that's great. And I mean, with women businesses being on the rise and women being the major purchasers of most of the households in the U.S. as well as across, you know, the world and across the waters, really, that's a perfect item for people to have and utilize. So I encourage everybody to definitely take advantage of that. I'm definitely going to do it myself.
Oh, cool.
so I want to thank you, Vicki, so much for being here today. This information that you shared has been so valuable and so awesome. I'm just going to ask you if there's one thing that maybe I haven't covered or didn't ask and you want to leave the ladies with today, feel free to go ahead and do that now.
Yeah, I just want to encourage all the ladies, because it's really important to me, if I can inspire just one person, is just to make the decision to live an extraordinary life. You know, if you're doing everything like everybody else, you're just living an ordinary life. When you start to do things outside the box and people start to say, oh my gosh, you're crazy, that's when you're living an extraordinary life, because you're doing things that the average person wouldn't do. So every day, push a little harder, take some risks. do some things most people would be afraid to do, and then you will be on that path to really realize your dreams, your purpose, and set yourself apart from the status quo, because I believe as women, we should always strive to be extraordinary. So I just want to encourage everyone to go out there and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to the Aim to Win in Business and Life podcast with Toni Coleman Brown. Please visit TonyColemanBrown.com for more information on this episode. And get ready to win.